Hello and welcome to Off the Mark with the Bickersteins. Today it's just Kathy, so there will be no bickering. Have you ever purchased something from the brand of a celebrity or an influencer you admire? Some of us would probably say yes. Recently, we've seen a rise in celebrity brands, especially in the beauty, health, and wellness categories. And believe it or not, this is actually an up-and-coming PR strategy. Our guest today has explained that establishing the founder or CEO as the face of the brand can actually help form a connection with consumers. Our special guest, Dolma Alton, has gained lots of traction on TikTok for talking business and sharing advice geared towards female entrepreneurs. She's here to answer all of our most pressing questions about the PR strategy behind celebrity and influencer brands. Welcome, Dolma. So, Dolma, we're so excited to have you here. I guess you used to be an advertising strategist for Google, and now you have your own company. Can you tell us just a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, of course. So I was born in Mongolia. I grew up in Sacramento because I moved to the States when I was 6 years old. And then I went to Brown University for undergrad. I studied international development there. And while I was an undergrad, I fell in love with startups and entrepreneurship. I had a few internships that really informed that. And so I left. When I left college, I took a job at Google, and there I was an AdWords account strategist. So really deep dive into figuring out paid advertising and helping our small and medium business clients figure out how to use AdWords and Google Analytics and all that good stuff. So that was a great exposure to the world of Silicon Valley and tech. But pretty soon, I wanted to just be more involved in the startup world. I love entrepreneurship. I love the fast pace of kind of a chaotic early stage startup environment. And so I thought, okay, this has been nice, but I think really I'm wired to be in a little bit more of a creative entrepreneurial space. So I left and I freelanced as a marketer for different software startups in Silicon Valley, anything from insurance tech to B2B SaaS. And that was really fun for me. But because I had gotten exposed to the world of consumer brands when I was an undergrad by interning at an agency called Red Antler, they've done the branding for companies like Casper and Allbirds and Birchbox and Rent the Runway. And so because of that exposure, I knew I wanted to go back into that world of consumer brands. I think a really strong brand is such a great vehicle for storytelling. And I think that's always what I've loved about it. And the best brands can stand for a bigger mission too, right? They can have a purpose. And that's also something I feel passionately about. So in 2017, I launched my first business. It was a non-toxic fragrance retailer online called Potion. We curated all these amazing artisan perfumes from brands around the world and made it easier for consumers to sample, discover, and buy these fragrances. And that was really inspired by my mom, who used to bond with me over these beautiful, luxurious fragrances. And we always loved sharing that those experiences together. But because of her health issues, she was a little bit more sensitive to different kinds of ingredients in regular perfumes. So I wanted to create an option for people like her because I thought, well, if she exists and I also get a little bit of weird nausea and headaches from fragrance sometimes, so why don't we create a different option? So I started that business with about $10,000, very scrappy operation, DIY'd the logo. I would tell people not to do that because I had to get it rebranded. But overall, it was just kind of a crash course in running an e-commerce business, specifically an online business. And I ran that for 2 years and I learned a whole lot. And while I was doing that, I moved down from San Francisco, where I had been for almost 5 years, to Los Angeles. I kind of just wanted to press reset on my life and, you know, have a change of scenery without necessarily having to leave California because I love the sun. So I moved down. I packed all these boxes of little expensive natural perfumes into the back of my little blue Prius and drove all the way down to LA and just was running my business while also freelancing and kind of bopping around from place to place in LA. And because I didn't know anyone in LA, I wanted to connect with other women who were beauty founders, fashion founders, right, in the world of consumer brands and e-commerce. And I couldn't find any communities like that. So I decided to start my own. And that became a big passion project. And it developed into a community of over 1,000. Today, we have 1,700 women around the world who are all e-commerce founders at different stages, from pre-launch to, you know, making tens of millions in revenue a year. So that actually became the pivot. So I realized, okay, my fragrance business, Potion, my first baby, this is not necessarily scalable because we don't have the gross margins we need. There's a lot that's actually foundationally not there for this business to thrive. And that was actually really difficult to kind of walk away from that because I just felt like my identity was tied up in it. But eventually I realized, wait, there's something here with this community because I was organizing workshops and courses for them taught by guest speakers and instructors, and people really loved them. And some people were even suggesting I start charging for them because I was putting in so much free time and work into that. And I think people were seeing that and thinking, why are you giving away all this for free? You need to start charging. So that became MakeLane. So that's a kind of a roundabout way to say that has been the business I've been working on for the past couple of years. And then a few months ago, I started, you know, posting on TikTok for fun. And that has been an incredibly serendipitous journey. And I get to meet incredible people like you by talking about business. So
now you have a consulting business. And then how did you all of a sudden, you just started putting this advice on TikTok? And how long ago was that? Because you have quite a following.
Yeah. So I started posting in late September. And I gave myself the challenge of posting at least one video a day for 100 days in a row. I told all my friends so they could hold me accountable. And I did that. And basically, as soon as I started talking about business, which I love doing, it started to take off. So that has been a big focus of mine for the past few months.
That's incredible. So now, right now, you share a lot of your insights on topics like celebrity and influencer brands. And are you, I mean, do you find like, is that what's helping? Does that build your followers on TikTok because you're talking about brands that people know and understand? Or is it that and also women who are looking at those brands and those companies to see, well, how are they succeeding? How are they failing? How are they struggling? Where do you think that the following is coming from both? Or
that's a great question. It's both. And I wasn't sure what to expect. I didn't know if TikTok would algorithmically show me to entrepreneurs or, you know, aspiring entrepreneurs who would be a good fit for my educational content, or if I would just end up being shown to consumers who just wanted to know more about business. I think we are entering this interesting zeitgeist moment where people, even just consumers who are not necessarily, you know, entrepreneurs, want to learn more about the businesses they know. We want to learn more about the scandals behind WeWork and Theranos, right? Or we want to know sort of about these brands that are being sold to us and how they operate behind the scenes. And so I think it's been a mix of both. And I do see both in the comments a lot.
Got it. Okay. So could you tell us more about why we're seeing such a rise in celebrity and influencer brands? Is it just the social media platforms are making that possible? Or is it a conversion of a couple of different things happening at the same time?
It's a great question. So it is the intersection of a few different things. First, it is social media. Never before has it been so easy for celebrities to directly have a line of communication with their followers, build a community around their personal brands. And so that really is a great starting off point for them to sell products and create their own brands. So that's one. The other thing is, I think there were a few prominent examples that really paved the way. They kind of opened the floodgates for other celebrities and their managers and teams to think, wait, this is a really viable path. One being Fenty Beauty and another being Kylie Cosmetics and also recently Skims. But I think Fenty and Kylie specifically several years ago really were examples of how you could make that model work. And I actually think that that's created such a proliferation that now it's a little bit hard to stand out because so many celebrities are launching brands. So I think it was that. And also over the years, it's just gotten way easier to launch a brand, right? Especially a beauty brand or a skincare brand, which is what a lot of these celebrities go into. It's just become so much easier with platforms like Shopify, for example, that have lowered the barriers to entry.
Mm-hmm. So you talked about Kylie Jenner and Rihanna, who is Fenty, right? So would you say that they did it right? Are they examples of, you talk about one of the examples in a lot of your TikToks are a brand authentication. Like basically if you just slap it, and this happens a lot in the restaurant business too, right? There's like a chef and then next thing you know, it's a celebrity chef and then they have a restaurant, you know? But I think what you're saying is you can't just have a name and a product and then boom, it's instant success. What would you say some of the brands, what's the key to some of the brands that are succeeding and which ones are they? Could you name a few?
I think Rihanna's brand Fenty Beauty has done incredibly well. I think Skims by Kim Kardashian is a great example. They're a $3.2 billion company now, and they haven't even been around for a full 3 years, at least as far as, you know, the time that they launched. I think Rare Beauty by Selena Gomez is a fan favorite. Every time I post about them, people are in the comments raving about it. They love the product. And they also, there's a halo effect around the brand because of the love that people have for Selena as well. But that's not sufficient. And I would also say, let's see, I think those are the three big examples I always return to. And then there are other brands that have done well that are not necessarily as prominent. For example, Casamigos is a tequila brand that sold for $1 billion. It's by George Clooney, but he's not necessarily the face of it. So it's a little bit of a different category, and alcohol is just different in general. But those are some examples I think of.
What about like Jennifer Aniston? And obviously she's been loved forever because of her hair. And then what do you know? I think it's Lola V or something is the name of her product. Was that a good fit? Because we've admired her hair since the days of Friends. Everybody had the Rachel cut. I mean, is that one of the things that you need to do? Like, you have to make sure that the brand is something that's identifiable to you. And I don't even know if it's doing well or not, if the brand's doing well, but I just know that, you know, she came out with the brand for the first time.
Yeah, that's spot on. I think she might have also been associated with Living Proof, which is a hair care brand, but don't quote me on that. I'm not exactly sure. But I to your point, I think that is exactly part of what needs to be there for consumers to perceive it as authentic. And that's something that people increasingly care about because they feel so fatigued and cynical about all these celebrity brands that they are calling quote unquote cash grabs. And they don't want to feel like they're being scammed into buying products just because a celebrity has slapped their face and name on it. And so I do think that the more authenticity there seems to be, the more people are going to be willing to support.
Mm-hmm. So you won't just, it's not enough just to like the celebrity.
No, it's actually not, because Ariana Grande, for example, is beloved, right? She's one of the biggest pop stars alive today, and she has a massive following. There are some stans on TikTok that are pretty aggressive. I mean, if you say anything vaguely negative about her, they will attack. And so she is very popular. But at the same time, these very same stans, which are basically like super fans, they have told me repeatedly in the comments of many of my videos that they're not interested in buying any of the products because they don't look like they're good quality, and they don't understand why she's launching a beauty brand. And they also feel like she's not that actively involved. So that was really striking to me, because I think that's the most glaring example of exactly what you just said, which is it's popularity is not enough. Star power is not enough. You really need to seem like you're passionate about it. It needs to feel like an authentic extension of you and your personal brand. And people want to feel like you're actively involved in it, like you played a role in developing the products besides just, you know, helping choose the colors and the packaging and the names.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you were to give Ariana Grande some advice, what might be a brand that is better fitted to her? Is it okay that she has a beauty brand, but she just needs to play a bigger role in, or it has to feel like she's more connected to it? Or is it that, well, she's really known more for her clothing than her, I don't know. She's probably known for everything. You know, should she have like started a different type of company? What's the difference there?
I think there are a few avenues she could have gone down. One is to emphasize hair products or wigs or something to do with hair bands, right? With her first launch, I actually do think that when they filed for trademarks for her current brand, RM Beauty, that was included as a category, but we haven't necessarily seen that yet, I don't think. And so I think that would have felt more exciting because she's so famous for that, you know, ponytail that she has. It's so iconic. So that's one example. Choosing a product category that is more resonant with how people perceive you. The second is, I think if she did seem more involved and passionate, a lot of people would have been more interested because they want to see that that authenticity and passion is there. And also, I do think that that the differentiation of the products matters. And what I mean by that is when you look at the products she's released so far, they seem interesting and kind of cute. The packaging is cutesy and, you know, somewhat innovative, but it doesn't seem like anything new. Whereas Fenty Beauty really innovated with the shade range that they launched with and how attentively they developed the formulation of each different shade, paying attention to undertones. That was genuine innovation. And I think people want to see that if there is a new celebrity brand, it's doing something different. It's serving a need that hasn't been met already by other brands.
Got it. Now, what did you talk about an influencer? I think Shelby Church, and she was expanding to Airbnb properties. If she bought Airbnb and she started investing in Airbnb, but I don't think that's what she was an influencer for, or if I remember correctly. Can you tell me a little bit about her story and why you think it was so successful and why it worked?
Yeah, so I will caveat this with the preface that I actually haven't followed her YouTube much. So I'm not as familiar with her content, but I do know that she has this Airbnb in Palm Springs and that she created a bunch of videos on the process of buying it and renovating it and, you know, listing it on Airbnb and what her experience has been. So I actually think that as a business venture, it's intriguing because it's something fresh. So that actually generates more potentially publicity for her. So the earned media value, which is a secondary byproduct of this project, is significant. So I think that's interesting. And people like when influencers and celebrities do something that's not just launching yet another beauty brand. I also think that for the scale of fame that she has, which is she's a major influencer on YouTube, you know, she's not necessarily, Ariana Grande is on a different level of fame, right? So so I think for Shelby Church, in terms of diversifying her own wealth and making sure she's investing in different properties besides just relying on influencer brand deals, it makes a lot of sense. Will something like this make as much money for her as an influencer or celebrity launching a beauty brand that really does well and can later be acquired for, let's say, $50 million, $100 million, $200 million? No, not by any means. But at the same time, this is more of a trodden path, right? People acquire properties and invest in them and renovate them all the time. So I think it makes sense for her. And it's just a fun project to follow.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've said before that many of the brands that are not successful really haven't found a niche in their industry, leaving consumers kind of skeptical, about purchasing from them. How would you say that brands can go about finding a niche that it maybe is new and that it is can get a following, and therefore you can turn around and increase, you know, capital on a longer term basis?
Yeah. Well, I think the hard part about this is not everybody should launch a brand. People should launch less brands, whether you're an influencer, a celebrity, or sometimes even just founders, right? I come from Silicon Valley, and I think there is this glamorization of entrepreneurship that creates an incentive for people to just start startups and get funding just because they can or just because they want to play that game. And I think it's similar for celebrities and influencers where they're doing it because, you know, people around them are pitching them on the idea or they think they need to do it. But actually, maybe not everyone should. Maybe we should go back to good old fashioned licensing or endorsement deals where you are finding a brand that you really believe in and then kind of putting a little bit of capital in as an investor, but also being more of a spokesperson for the brand. I actually think that a few celebrities have started to do this and it's a really great idea. Dakota Johnson with a sexual wellness brand called Maud, Bella Hadid with a non-alcoholic quote unquote booze brand called Can Euphorix. They've done this. I think that's actually a really brilliant move and more of them should do that. And I can get into why and I can unpack the reasons for that. But to answer your question, the way you find a niche, if you really do decide, I actually think that I want to launch my own brand, I want to be entrepreneurial, then the way you do it is make sure you have a really engaged social following. Make sure you have a really strong direct relationship with your fans and make sure you're cultivating a sense of community on social media online, and then start to post about the brands and products that you really like. And if you do that, you're going to start to kind of gather people, voices around you that are giving you their feedback on those products. Or if you ask them questions about a certain category, let's say you love, you know, hair products and you're known for your hair, then if you're sharing other brands' hair products that you love, and if you're always talking about hair care, then you're going to get to learn over time a lot about what your audience thinks about hair care and what's missing for them, right? You can ask them questions directly. You can literally say, what do you wish existed? What don't you like about this really popular brand? What do you think they could do better? And that's going to give you so much organic insight and data that you can leverage to develop your own product line if you want.
So instead of jumping on the brand bandwagon, you could use your, so build up your social media, build a niche of a community, like you're saying, that people are like-minded interests, and then maybe use that for a long time to do, basically you're doing surveys, intelligence gathering, market research, right? Mm-hmm. To see. So maybe do that before you jump into, I need to start a brand.
I think that's really the best way to do it. And I also think the irony of this is the exact playbook I tell regular people who aren't influencers or celebrities. When people approach me and say, hey, I kind of want to start a beauty brand, or I want to start a brand in this space, what do? I say, okay, build a following, start talking about that category, because you will have so many things to say about it if you're actually passionate about it, which you should be if you want to start a brand in it. And then as you start to build that following, you're going to eventually ask your community what they want. And they're going to tell you exactly what is missing for them or what's not working for them. So that's the same playbook that anybody should follow, regardless of whether you have, you know, you're starting with 1,000 followers or 1,000,000 followers. And the only difference for celebrities and influencers these days is they're going to have a slightly easier time. They're going to be able to kind of leapfrog the initial phase of really having to build community from 0 to 1.
Right. And in any case, a very engaged following is the most important thing. I mean, we see these people who have multi millions of followers, but if you have 20 million followers and you have 20,000 likes on something, then you really don't have an engaged community based on your following. I mean, you still do have an engaged community, but it's not as big as you think it is, right? I mean, it's more about the engagement than the number of followers, basically, is what needs to be concentrated on.
It's exactly that. It's about the engagement, but it's also about who are your followers, right? If you have 2 million followers on Instagram and all of them are men liking your bikini posts, then, and you're trying to sell a skincare brand for Gen Z, then that's going to be not necessarily the right fit, right? So it also matters kind of who you're trying to sell to, and are those actually your followers?
So if you're a hot woman in a bikini and you've got a lot of male followers, you should maybe sell men's clothing. As long as they're stylish.
Or you should switch up the content, right? Try to make content that appeals to a diversity of people.
Right. Stop wearing bikinis. Some people say no news is good news.
I say to those people, you've never read 1631digitalnews.com.
Hey, everybody. There's a new site online that pulls the best content from the best sources from around the internet.
Get the latest breaking news, U.S. news, sports, luxury, music, entertainment, and even a great lineup of podcasts, including, guess which one?
Off the Mark.
Off the Mark with the Bickersteinsteins.
Check it out today at www.1631digitalnews.com. That's www.1631digitalnews.com.
It's a great news site.
It is.
It's where we get all our news, or a lot of our news, most of our news, a good part of our news.
I check it out first thing in the morning.
And before you go to bed. All day.
And before I go to bed.
It's a 24/7
thing. I'm going to go on it right now before our podcast in case I miss something.
1631. Check it out. 1631digitalnews.com.
So you had talked a little bit about why you think brands should do sponsorships instead of starting their own brands. Can you go into that a little more in depth?
Yeah. So I think these days, like I said, unless you have a really innovative idea and you're willing to put in the time and the work it takes to develop a high quality product line around that idea, and unless you're really willing to cultivate the brand, which takes time, then you shouldn't necessarily be launching a brand just for the sake of it. If you're a mega celebrity, you probably will generate a lot of first-time sales, but first-time revenue is not sufficient. That's kind of, depending on how much revenue you drive, it's going to, you know, cover your costs and make you some income. But if you're trying to build a lasting, scalable brand that can later be acquired and really sort of build your wealth as a celebrity or influencer, you're not going to be able to do it without putting in the work. And so if that's the case, then it's both in the consumer's interest and in your own interest to take a different path. And I think these days, the best way to do it is to kind of take two models. It's kind of this, it's a hybrid of launching your own brand because you have equity in this business, but it's also taking elements of the traditional endorsement deal where, you know, you would see a celebrity or an actress be the face of Revlon or L'Oreal or something. It's taking both of those and kind of creating a hybrid in the sense that you would find a brand that you genuinely love the product of. So, you know, let's say it's a stylish handbag, kind of like younger fashion brand that you love, then you could reach out to them and say, hey, I just love what you're doing. Can I get involved in some way? Are you taking investment? Can I be an angel investor in your next round? Or can I get involved? Or can we do a deal, brand deal together? And you start to test the waters because it's not enough for you to love the brand. You have to also make sure you vibe with the team, right? You like the founder. There's mutual chemistry. That still matters. And so if you establish that there is that chemistry, it is a good culture fit, you agree with their values and mission, you love their story, it's kind of on brand for you and for them, even aesthetically, right? If all those elements are there, then it can actually be a really good idea to make an investment and come in with some sort of a title. And that title can be anything. I've seen people call themselves creative directors. Bella Hadid calls herself the co-founder of King Euphorics, which some people find to be a little bit of a stretch. But it doesn't matter. I think the point is you are actively involved in some capacity. You're being clear about what you can provide. And in a way, instead of launching your own brand, which some people might have a lot of skepticism towards, and you're going to have to fight that, and it's going to be an uphill battle. Instead of doing that, you can actually take the platform that you've built and the resources that you have and the clout that you have and put it behind a founder that you really believe in so that the brand has that authenticity. And in a way, you know, depending on who the founder is and what that brand does, that could actually be also a really strategic publicity move for you because you are supporting, a brand founded by a person of color or a woman founder or working towards a cause that you want to align with. So I think that's the playbook for how to do it. I hope we see more of that. And I think we will.
So let's say you're Eva Longoria is, a spokesperson for L'Oreal. So maybe she started just doing a sponsorship and then maybe she's really interested in clean beauty, right? All organic. And then L'Oreal wanted to launch an organic, whatever, you know, brand or something that appealed to a certain age or certain ethnicity for women. So maybe then she would have a certain line within L'Oreal that would be called the Eva or something like that. Is that what you're kind of talking about? Like it, maybe you, you wouldn't also start your own makeup line, but you would have an existing brand and then you would decide that you guys work good together because you were a sponsor first. And then maybe you could go further and have a line within the brand. Is that kind of what you mean?
No, but that's actually also a great idea. So what I'm talking about is there's an existing brand, maybe it's a startup, maybe it's been around for a few years and they've raised a few rounds of funding and they seem de-risked from that perspective. So they're early stage enough that they would be willing to give you equity so that you can have some sort of stake in the company, but they're not so early that you don't know if they're going to be around next year. So that kind of a company, reach out to them and see if you can invest and then see if you can become more of a spokesperson for the brand where you're almost taking an active role on the team. So that's one thing. But what you're suggesting, creating some sort of a special limited edition product or a capsule collection, something like that, that can also be very effective. I've always thought that if Taylor Swift were to launch a specific red lipstick with MAC or something, that would be, a crazy sellout product, but one can only hope.
So what about let's say you're a company, let's say you're a nonprofit, let's say you're Goodwill. Okay. And obviously you have a mission to try to recycle and, but then you're also helping people. And so you want to partner with somebody who's into sustainable fashion. So is it good for companies like that to, or you're a nonprofit or let's say you're, I don't know. I mean, you could be any retail company or a restaurant or whatever. How do you go about as a company or as a nonprofit? How do you find that perfect influencer that's a good fit for you? And that, and is that a good idea? Do you know what I mean? Like to raise the brand's awareness, but then also maybe that influencer is a diehard, sustainable, fashion influencer. And so that everyone knows she only thrifts. She only buys at Goodwill or secondhand or rents or whatever. Are those type of, like if you had a company and you had an influencer, but it starts with the company, how would you suggest the company reach out to the influencer and how do you make sure it's a good fit?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think like with anything involving entrepreneurship and startups, it's good old fashioned hustle, right? You have to figure out how to get into their inbox and get them on the phone or get them in a meeting, especially if they're a really big celebrity. So you're probably going to need to get intros through whoever you know and try to find that. But I do think that if somebody is highly aligned and they're also willing to put a little bit of capital in the business, if you're a startup and you include them in your next round and they're on your cap table, and maybe they're not even writing a big check, but you just want them to feel incentivized. You want them to feel like they have skin in the game, like they're actively involved, then that can be great. And that can also incentivize them to promote more of your brand. I would say two things to look out for. One is make sure expectations are aligned. If you're expecting them to post about you and talk about you publicly, but that's unclear, then that can, you know, lead to issues. Maybe you've given away too much equity for something that actually doesn't deliver. And then I also think that with anything to do with big deals with influencers or celebrities, it's worth, if you can, I think it's hard because they want to be paid, you know, a lot upfront, depending on how big that celebrity is. But let's say it's an influencer who has a couple thousand, 100,000 followers on Instagram, which these days, you know, is, there are a lot of them out there, but it's still significant. If they're strongly aligned, and if they have, let's say, up to 1,500,000 to 1,000,000, and that can even be the scale at which we're talking, right? Because for a lot of brands, it's going to be kind of out of reach to target, you know, celebrities with 10 million plus followers. But let's say somebody has 1,000,000 followers, then you can actually, you know, however you set up the deal, you can start to test the waters. Instead of, you know, jumping into marriage, you can date them a little bit and have them post a few times about you and see if there is the actual alignment between your respective audiences that you're hoping is there. I think that's the safest way to do it, is to test it out. And even for smaller brands that are just starting to do influencer marketing, I think it can be a good idea to seed your products, gift your products to a wide array of influencers that you think would be a good fit. But then you're going to start to see patterns in who's really avidly talking about you, who's so enthusiastic that they're posting about you a second time, who came back to even spend their own money on replenishing some of those products, right? And whose audience seems to be most engaged with your brand. So just test things out as much as possible in the beginning.
And does it matter? I mean, even now, you know, there's these micro influencers, and I guess it makes it more affordable for some brands if they're, you know, maybe they have, you know, 10,000 or 20,000 or 50,000 followers, but they have a very, I mean, can those be just as powerful because you're spending less money, but you've got a really engaged audience? If you're a big enough brand, should you look to grow with an influencer, or should you always have somebody that's established? I mean, when you're a company, like, how would you just suggest, like, make sure you have an influencer that just has an engaged following, and how do you check that out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, to answer that final question, you can just kind of take a look at their Instagram, right? And see if they're getting likes and comments and what the ratio is relative to their following. So that's something you can suss out pretty easily. As far as what, you know, how big they have to be, what scale you have to do this, it all depends on your own scale, right? If you're just starting out and somebody with 20,000 engaged followers posts about you, that is a big deal. If you have been around for years and years, you're making, you know, 10 million plus in revenue a year, and somebody with 20,000 followers posts to you, that's probably not going to move the needle for your revenue, but it will also potentially be user generated content you can repurpose into your Facebook ads, your creatives, your assets that you need for your social media accounts. And so that's the other point I want to add, is influencer marketing is not just to drive brand awareness or conversions or revenue. You're kind of outsourcing content, especially if you're paying micro influencers to create content for you. It's basically a way of sourcing really authentic, engaging content without having to hire your own photographer and do all that yourself.
Oh, that's a great idea, because, you know, they're making, instead of having five social media internal people on your internal team, maybe you have one, and then you're connecting with brands that are smaller, and they're basically your, you know, your 20 people or 30 people social media team.
Exactly. And that kind of content, let's say a micro influencer, somebody with, you know, 5,000 followers, but really beautiful curated aesthetic in their Instagram feed. Let's say they make a short video about you, they unbox your product, they try it on, they really love it. If you ask them if you can use that video, or maybe you have set up some sort of a deal where you're paying for usage rights, if you take that video and put it in a Facebook ad, more often than not, that's going to perform better than something super polished that you've created yourself for way more money. So that's also something to take into account, is a lot of these posts by influencers are really powerful, effective assets for ad creative.
Where do you see this whole industry going? Do you feel like it's, you know, it's going to get tapped out, or is it just going to grow, but grow on different platforms, or, you know, is it at some point going to become less relevant?
I think it will not become less relevant. If anything, it'll become more relevant, but it will evolve over time as more and more people become influencers. I think there is an argument to be made that if you have a smartphone and if you have a social media account on any of the platforms, in a way you are an influencer because you influence your brother and your uncle and your sister and your friends, right? Like, you influence somebody. So everybody's influencing other people. And so it's just a matter of kind of how is this whole industry going to change? And really the way that it changes, and we've seen this in the past year, is it changes relative to how well or poorly the other platforms are working for brands. So Facebook ads have become more expensive, and there have been changes made to the way Facebook ads work for brands because of Apple iOS updates. And because of that, a lot of people are reallocating some of that budget towards influencer marketing. They're doubling down on influencer marketing because they kind of just have no choice. And so a lot of the fate of the influencer marketing industry, that world, it's going to depend on the other platforms.
Got it. I want to do like a lightning round of hit or miss with certain celeb brands.
Okay.
And you can just do thumbs up, thumbs down, or whatever you want.
Okay.
So Skims, Kim Kardashian.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Okay. Baze with Shay Mitchell.
Thumbs up.
818 Tequila, Kendall Jenner.
I don't know about that one. I haven't tried it, and I don't know what people say about it, so I can't say.
Okay. And why do you think? Because she's just... like, she's not really known, is she, as being a tequila drinker? And if it feels like that when she just put her name on, or?
I kind of think that it was sort of just part of Kris Jenner's mission to make sure each of her children has a really successful brand. And I don't know how well that's going to work for Kendall Jenner. But yeah, I mean, I that is one of those things where I don't know if there's strong alignment, but because she is so famous, it might still actually be an effective strategy, but who knows?
Okay. Item beauty, Addison Rae.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down. And why? Just one of those Ariana Grande kind of situations?
Kind of. I think she is probably not that involved with it. She's just so much at the peak, at the height of her celebrity, that she's doing a lot of things. And so it would be hard for me to imagine that she's putting in the kind of work it takes to really authentically be developing this brand herself. And also, just from hearsay, from what people have said in my comments, from the feedback I've heard, the products are good, but they're not, you know, crazy innovative. They're not doing anything that spectacularly new. So I think that also is a weakness.
Got it. Golf LaFleur by Tyler, the Creator.
Thumbs up. Yeah, I think it's a great brand because it's so authentically his style and taste. And he's also doing something new, right? It's a fashion brand, and it has these kind of, it has this golf theme, which is so fun and creative and quirky. So I think it's just a genuine passion project for him. And I think people can feel that.
Cool. Ariana Beauty, Ariana Grande, already with thumbs down, right?
Thumbs down.
What about pleasing Harry Styles?
That's a really tough one. I think ultimately it's a thumbs down. He is so famous that he's probably going to generate a lot of revenue from that brand. But I think as far as longevity of that brand and the price point, it's also pretty expensive. And it's, at the end of the day, it's nail polish, right? So with like two skincare products, which is kind of random. So I think it's a thumbs down.
Okay. Florence, Millie Bobby Brown.
So I would have initially told you thumbs down because of her little fiasco with the video that she did pretending to try on the product. And I just wasn't sure if it was any good, but actually people love the product. So I think people are willing to forgive a lot, including some inauthenticity, if the products are really good. So thumbs up.
Okay. About face, Halsey.
Thumbs up.
Okay. And then Kylie Swim, Kylie Jenner.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down. One of those two, just like.
Yeah.
Why?
That, yeah. I mean, that was just pretty bad PR spectacle and it wasn't very good quality. So I think it was a hastily developed brand.
Got it. So one more question before we leave. What do you think, is it impossible these days to like start from scratch and become an influencer? It's so much harder now, right? I mean, or if somebody is out there scrapping and trying to do it, would you say, yeah, go into it? Or you're like, oh, it's so overdone right now.
I think it's always possible. People are always going to want innovative, interesting, good products that solve their problems and meet their needs. So I think it's theoretically always possible. It is hard because there are more brands and more influencers out there. I think TikTok is actually making it easier for people because you can go viral on TikTok pretty quickly relative to the other platforms. And I think I'm a testament to that, right? I've been starting to get great opportunities and partnerships and deals because of my TikTok, and I haven't been even around that long. So I think TikTok does level the playing field a little bit.
And that is because you're giving you know your niche, right? I mean, one of the most important things is A, know your shit, right? Know your niche, know your audience. I mean, those are some of the things that, I mean, you can't be a fake. You can't pretend to be either to know what you're talking about or pretend to care about something. You truly have to be authentic to whatever you're talking about, right? Because people not only can spot a fake, but then if they find you out, they will out you like crazy, right?
That's true, yeah. And you know what? Also, people are just so intuitive and they're so good at spotting kind of how excited you are about something, how sincere you're being. And that kind of thing comes across a lot on TikTok. So even if two people say the exact same things, I think the one that's doing it really authentically or from the heart or in a way that's really their ideas, their own ideas, that person's going to win because TikTok rewards that.
So what type of business are you looking for? Like, who is your perfect client that you want to contact you and how do they contact you?
Oh, that's a good question. So if any female founders want to join my community, we have a community of e-commerce founders and they're wonderful. You can go to makelane.com, makelane.com and find the community. It's private, but it's free. And then if you want to work with me on anything or want to leverage my brain to advance your brand, and then you can find me at I Am Dolma. So that's the handle on TikTok and Instagram to find me.
Great. Was there anything that I didn't ask you that I should have asked you? You're like, the one question you forgot was.
No, I think we covered all the important things, but here's one thing I will leave people with. Whether you're a celebrity or influencer or just an ordinary person who doesn't have a huge platform, if you authentically care about something and feel totally galvanized to bring it into the world, you can succeed. And that is the most important component. Whether that's the thing that's going to help you stand out if you're a celebrity brand, and that's also the thing that's going to push you through all the obstacles if you are a regular person starting your own brand, and people are going to feel that. They're going to see that. They love to root for the underdog. It's just going to make your pathway easier. And so platforms change, things get competitive, but never be discouraged from doing what is authentically in your heart. I strongly believe that.
Passion will get you through anything, right? Because yep. No matter what you do, there's going to be some really bad times and some really big obstacles.
So true.
All right. Well, this was so much fun. Thank you for spending time with us.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Wow. I learned a lot from that awesome discussion. It was helpful to have Dolma's expert insight on such a relevant topic. I hope you guys also enjoyed it. That's it for today's episode. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at On The Mark Media so you know when our latest episode posts. You can also find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. Also, On The Mark Media, all those marks are with C's. Off The Mark is a production of On The Mark Media. Until next time. That was Mark. He wasn't here today. And I'm Kathy, and we are the Bickersteins.